Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, on a beautiful Sunday, a Sunday where we celebrate Founders Day, and we also celebrate Thanksgiving. And so if you notice on our altar, we've got a great cornucopia of fruits and vegetables and other food. Thank you to those who were here this morning and decorated that. Later on, these givings and these offerings will make their way to Emmaus House and help to feed those who are in need this holiday week. Welcome to those of you who are guests with us today. We have a very special guest this morning. We welcome to our pulpit this morning Miss Ashley Robinson. She is at Oakhurst Baptist Church right now in Decatur. Some of you might recognize that name. That is where one Lauren Caldwell is at now. And some of you might have some relatives that frequent there and call that place home as well. And so it is great to have Ashley with us this morning, and we look forward to her leading us this morning. If you are a guest with us this morning from out of town, welcome. And if you are a guest from in town, welcome as well. At some point in the service, if you could, we have some guest cards that are right in front of you in the pew, and it would be awesome if you would fill those out for us. It lets us get to know you a little bit more. And for those of you who we call family, who are our community, and who we walk through life together with, welcome back to this place, and may we worship together. Please join me in this call to worship. Give thanks to God, and call upon God's name. Sing praises to God. Glory in God's holy name. Seek God's presence continually. For God is good, and we come to worship God.
We pray together. We tell God's story. Will you pray with me? Creator God, blessed pathmaker, as we gather today, we celebrate the beauty and joy we find in remembrance. We remember with astonishment that you have carried us through the hard places in our history. We remember all of the moments your relentless yes was louder than our doubts. We remember with thanksgiving the saints who came before us. As we pause to remember them, we are grateful that they saw beauty and possibility, making the way clear for us when there might have been nothing before them but wilderness. As we pause to remember and worship, help us find a fresh breath of holy persistence. Amen.
join me as we affirm our faith together? We believe in God, in God's goodness in which we were born, in God's mercy by which we are kept, in God's love from which we cannot be separated. We believe in Christ, whose way is the only way, whose truth is the ultimate truth, whose life claims ours. We believe in the Spirit, from whom we receive comfort, in whom we find courage, by whom we are commissioned.
Good morning, everybody. Come on up and join us. Oh, and there's somebody else too. Hello there. Come on in and have a seat. Hello. Well, do you guys remember what it means when we use red cloth on the lectern and the ministers wear red? What's it mean? It's a special occasion, and today we are marking two special occasions. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving, but I think even more important than that, and part of that Thanksgiving, is we are celebrating the anniversary of the founding of this church. 218 years ago, people gathered together and they decided that they wanted to found a new church. Now, in that time, we have had a lot of ministers. Can any of you guess how many different preachers we have had here? How many? 17? How many do you think? No, 4,000 million is a little much. We have had 29 ministers during that time period. 29. That's a lot of people. And right now, we're looking for our 30th minister. And there are some people that the congregation have asked to do that very difficult work. Now, can you guys stand up and look out? Come over here. Come stand with me. Yeah, come on, Marissa. You can do it. All right, now look out. Trisha Kilgore, would you stand up? And Shannon Wilhite, and George Pruden, and Emily Gerard, and there are other people who are probably traveling already. Fran Arnsdorf is here, though, and Rebecca Sutton may be working, Jim Flanagan, Doug Craig, I saw him earlier. All of these people are right now spending a great deal of time looking for the 30th minister for this church. And they have been working really hard. Do you know that we have had, I think, 56 applications for people who want to come and be your minister? That's a lot of people, and it is taking a lot of time to talk to all of them. We are traveling. Henry's mom and I, just a couple of weeks ago, hopped in the car on a Saturday morning, and we drove for 7 hours. And then we had dinner with a potential candidate, and we saw that person preach on Sunday, and then we drove back here the next day for 7 hours so we could get back in time for Kyle's recital. I may have sped a little. But I want you all can sit down. Thank you. I want you all to know that these people have been working very, very hard for you. And I know that it seems like it may be taking a long time, but really, it's only been 3 months since we started looking at people's resumes. So, I would like you to do two things for me, if you would. One, I want you to keep us in your prayers as we do the hard work. And two, be just patient for a little bit longer. Can you do that for me? Would you all pray? God, thank you for all of the wonderful blessings you have given to us, your congregation, in this place. Be with us as we move forward. Be with these children, the future of our church. In thy Son's name we ask it. Amen.
Today's first lesson comes from Psalm 16. Protect me, God, because I trust in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Every good thing I have comes from you. As for the godly people in the world, they are the wonderful ones I enjoy. But those who turn to idols will have much pain. I will not offer blood to those idols or even speak their names. The Lord is all I need. He takes care of me. My share in life has been pleasant. My part has been beautiful. I praise the Lord because he advises me. Even at night, I feel his leading. I keep the Lord before me always because he is close by my side. I will not be hurt. So I rejoice and am glad. Even my body has hope because he will not leave me in the grave. The Lord will not let the Holy One rot. You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. Here ends the first lesson.
Our second lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, starting at verse 11, ending in verse 25. Every priest stands day after day at God's service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, and the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, and after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. God also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sins. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
And now a reading from the Gospel of Mark. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another. That will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. This is the written word of the Lord. Thank you for welcoming me into this beautiful space. It is an honor to worship with you today. And I do bring greetings from Oakhurst Baptist and from Lauren Caldwell. She sends much love. Will you pray with me? And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. I would also like to thank the lectionary for this apocalyptic text that falls on a Sunday when we are scheduled to celebrate the rich history of First Baptist Church of Savannah. Well played, lectionary. Well played. The irony is not lost on me. As Nadia Boldsweber wrote of apocalyptic moments, I'd like to welcome you all to the apocalypse. Pull up a chair and make yourself uncomfortable. In this text, we find ourselves in the midst of a moment, a little apocalypse, as it is known, where Jesus, in true apocalyptic fashion, ruins all the fun. But unlike end time doom and gloom that we might think of when we hear the apocalypse, here Jesus is unveiling the possibility of new beginnings. As it turns out, there is hope in the chaos. As Jesus and the disciples are leaving the temple here, the same temple where Jesus had in previous chapters caused quite the scene, one of the disciples was struck with wonder at the glorious temple. To be fair, it can be difficult to be in the presence of glorious buildings and not be struck with wonder. If you have ever stood at the base of the Empire State Building and looked up while the notorious skyscraper stares down its stately nose at you, then you might understand their sense of wonder. If you have ever stood in an empty sanctuary and felt your small voice bounce off of every sacred surface, then you might understand their sense of wonder. If you have ever stood under the beautiful columns of this building and felt the presence of a warm breeze that carries the rich history through Chippewa Square, then you might understand their sense of wonder. Their wonder, the kind of wonder that makes you stop in your tracks, though, is met here with an equal sense of urgency, but the kind of urgency that makes you turn around and go a different way. Look at these large stones and large buildings, they said. All will be thrown down, Jesus replied. Well, that escalated quickly. Later, when Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, and the setting is no accident here, Jesus, resting on a piece of natural glory, while gazing upon a man-made wonder, a small group of disciples approach. Now, I have to wonder if they picked the short straw and were the unfortunate elect who had to hear more apocalyptic visions from Jesus. Or maybe Jesus had piqued their sense of wonder, and they just had to know more. Specifically, they had to know when. As a keeper of a color-coded calendar, I fully appreciate their need to know when. But instead of offering a time and day for the end to arrive, or even a general timeline, Jesus draws their attention to a series of events, events that were already in the works. I have to wonder what would have happened if Jesus declared that the temple would crumble at precisely November 18th, 2018, at 11:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I imagine that many of us would toil away until approximately November 18th, 2018, at approximately 11:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only to wonder how we missed everything. While the sudden awareness of chaos that is swirling around you can leave you feeling helpless, there is a possibility. These apocalyptic visions are meant to draw us out of our complacency. There is a possibility that chaos can instead be hopeful if we are careful not to become complacent. The chaos that Jesus foretold is actually already at work around them. The chaos that Jesus spoke of is nothing new. The temple had already begun its trajectory towards irrelevance and disillusionment. Jesus here was unveiling the hard truths that were hiding behind a glorious edifice and carefully crafted systems and rich histories. When the disciples tried to direct his gaze toward the temple, Jesus directed their gaze to the world and to the groaning of creation. When the disciples tried to direct his wonder towards buildings, Jesus drew their wonder back to mystery and possibility. Some of the hard questions that must be asked when faced with apocalyptic truths is, what is left when a temple crumbles? Can a faith community survive without a building? Is there a way forward after driving through the thick fog of disillusionment? Is there hope to be found in the rubble? In thinking of a literal crumbled building, I am reminded of a local church just around the corner from my home in Decatur, Georgia. This church, like many suburban Protestant churches, thrived in the 60s and 70s and saw membership and building growth in the 80s and 90s. But just a few years ago, the church found themselves being swallowed whole by a building that was much too large for the shrinking and aging congregation to sustain. The church wanted to continue as a faith community, especially to serve the aging members. So they made the very difficult decision to sell their building and to share space with another local church so that they would have the resources to stay alive as a faith community. Shortly after the building sold, I remember driving by the empty building as crews arrived to knock the bricks down. I remember the deep sadness I felt for the congregation and for the memories that were made in that building. I remember the anger that I felt as I watched a beautiful building being torn down to make way for exactly what the city needed. One more multi-use condo Whole Foods situation. But then, later that same day, I caught up with my friend who had begun her ministry journey with this beautiful congregation, and I was struck by the hope in her voice as she told me about how very much alive this faith community still was. She told me of a new endeavor that was started by the church called Church at Home, a service that happens in the homes of those in the community who can no longer leave their homes. She told me of Kate, a member of church who has the Church at Home service at her home. And Kate, while holding the hand of the person next to her for the entire service, cries during every hymn because the Church at Home experience is so meaningful to her. The Church at Home experience is the only way she can experience the love of community. While the destruction of their building was literal and painful, it also revealed a truth that their aging community was still alive with possibility. In thinking beyond literal walls, I recognize that the breaking down of walls might not seem like good news. In fact, it was hard news for those who had built the system and who benefited from the system. It is still hard news to hear for those who benefit from the systems at work. But the breaking down of walls can be good news. Good news for those who have been hurt by a system, ignored by a system, pushed out and erased by a system. The unveiling of truth can be good news for those who have wandered for years through the fog of disillusionment and find themselves once again welcomed back to the table. Barbara Brown Taylor writes of disillusionment. While disillusionment is almost always painful, it is not a bad thing to lose the lies we have mistaken for the truth. Disillusioned, we come to understand that God does not conform to our expectations. We glimpse our own relative size in the universe and see that no human being can say who God should be or how God should act. Disillusioned, we find out what is true and are set free to seek what is, if we dare. First Baptist Savannah, your own covenant reads, "We believe Jesus treated everyone with a spirit of love and equality. Therefore, we accept every individual without regard to age, gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic status. We affirm all persons as created in the image of God. At First Baptist Church, individuals can find family, families can find community, the injured can find healing, and all can seek truth and justice. We labor together in love for each other, our community, our world, and our God. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here." First Baptist Church of Savannah, with that statement, you make it clear that there is a safe space here for those who might have found themselves disillusioned with previous faith communities. In fact, your history shows that since the beginning, First Baptist Church has been a community that is willing to face hard truths and to make hard decisions about which direction to go. Since the beginning, First Baptist Savannah has lived through many of its own little apocalypse moments. This church was one of very few Southern churches that did not shudder during the Civil War. In fact, the history states that Pastor Landrum preached one Sunday to a congregation full of Confederate soldiers, and the next Sunday preached to a congregation full of Union soldiers. According to the book Pilgrims Through the Ages, this church made a conscious decision to stay downtown while other congregations were succumbing to white flight pressure. There was much thought about then, about what it means to be a downtown church, to serve the surrounding community. Perhaps one of the apocalyptic truths that might need to be addressed is what it means to be a downtown church right now. Right now, in this place where people are often just passing through, how might First Baptist Church of Savannah be a radical place of welcome and community? A few years ago, this church adopted a welcoming statement, which, read earlier, includes the acceptance of people of every age, gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic status. Such statements are rare for a First Baptist downtown church. Brave decisions are part of this church's rich history. But today, this text reminds us of what Jesus was trying to reveal in this apocalyptic moment. Jesus knew that the truth often hides behind glorious edifices, and that we often hide behind nice stories from our rich histories. Jesus broke through the walls of comfort to reveal that there are people dying to be seen, to be known. First Baptist Savannah, you have a rich, beautiful history. You have a heritage of being faithful to the call of serving the community. Now, I imagine that you find yourselves in a moment of transition, that the chaos that swirls around you is even more palpable. One day, the church as we know it will be no more. Systems will likely change, crumble even. We can look back at the history of this very church and know that it will not look the same from one generation to the next. When, you might be asking, when will this change happen? We have lived through wars, through rumors of wars. We have seen nation rise against nation. We have lived through earthquakes and have seen famines and are even seeing wildfires at this very moment. When? First Baptist Savannah, you are at a crossroads. You are facing a transition with new leadership. It is my hope and my prayer for you that instead of hearing helpless end times dread, you can hear the apocalyptic hope for this community and for our world. This is just the beginning. And while that statement might feel scary, that truth bears the beautiful possibility of good news. This is just the beginning. Amen. Into a moment of prayer. We will begin with silence, and I will close us with the concerns of our community and our world. Let us pray. O blessed Comforter, we remember with astonishment the many ways you have carried us through the hard moments in our history. We remember today the families in California who have seen mass destruction from wildfires. We remember today the communities that have been forever changed by gun violence at the Tree of Life Synagogue, at the Kroger store in Kentucky, at a yoga studio in Tallahassee, and all of the places that might not make the news. We pray now for all of our communities across the country who are facing transition of leadership after the election. We remember those with us and those not with us today in this community who have been touched by loss and illness. We pray that you will continue to carry us as we move forward to new beginnings. Amen. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord of all, who calls us children of God, cares for each of us, providing all that we need in abundance, and calling us to love one another in truth and action. So may our gifts reflect our trust in our God's care. May our gifts show thanksgiving for what God has given us, and may our offerings show our willingness to love one another. Thank you. Let's pray together. O God, our help in ages past, the one who calls us into our future, may we step with boldness into the adventure you have for this community. May we continue to seek your heart in our worship and be people transformed by the hearing and the doing of your word. May our community truly be a place where all are welcomed and where our love for each other draws others to your great love. May we embrace our calling with a strong commitment to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who wish to follow Jesus, or anybody desiring to join this worshiping community, or if you just like to come and pray at the kneelers, you can do that too. You may do that as we sing this hymn together. Y'all be seated for just a little while. Again, thank you for all who were guests today. Give folks a chance to say hello to you on the way out. A few announcements. First, thank you, Ashley, for being here this morning. That was wonderful. Thank you for your timely words. And she will be at the door for you to shake hands with and talk to as well. And I think you're here for lunch too, right? Awesome. Awesome. Also, just a reminder, next Sunday after church, we will do our Advent decorating. So if you are someone who helps decorate for Advent, then stay and help. If you're someone who doesn't help with Advent decorating, stay and help. And they will be doing that on Monday as well. Now, just a reminder, we do not have any Wednesday night activities this week. We are off this week. However, if you would like to participate in the community Thanksgiving service, it will be at Trinity United Methodist Church on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Reminder, the offices will be closed Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving. And today we have a congregational lunch over in Lewis Hall, and we are going to have a great meal, and then Ashley Williams and George Pruden are going to talk to us about our organ and the origins of our organ. Again, thank you to those who brought food this morning and for those who helped decorate our altar today. This looks fantastic. If you want to take pictures later, you're free to do that. It looks great, so thank you to the folks who did that. And so now, would you hear this pastoral benediction?
Now, friends, may the God who seeks you find you when you fall. May the God who loves you take delight in your living. For in your joyfulness and your grieving, in your faithfulness and your leaving, the God who loves you and redeems you keeps you still. Amen. Thank you.